Hello and welcome to another episode of K-Botak, the podcast about Korean cinema and K-dramas. I'm John, and on this episode we'll be greeting sudden international stardom by releasing a historical fiction spy thriller and casting all our mates, with a special episode on the man himself, Lee Jong-che. Lee Jong-che, or Lee Jung-jae, is increasingly familiar to people all over the world as the star of Squid Game, and he's even going to be in Star Wars. He's going to be one of the biggest Korean stars in history so far. And in some ways is kind of embodying the massive popularity and increasing growth of Korean movies and entertainment all over the world, from K-pop to food, to design styles, to fashion, but always K-dramas and Korean movies are a huge part of how people are getting into things from Korea and all the good stuff over there. And this was the face of one of the biggest K-dramas ever, as well as that, the biggest Netflix series ever. So, Lee Jong-jae, he was born December 15th, 1972, so he's 49, born in Seoul. His alma mater is Dongguk University. Debuted as a fashion model, then broke into TV, and having had a very successful career in TV and film, is also a businessman. He's good buddies with Chung Woo-sung, with whom he runs several businesses. Some of his notable films include early on City of the Rising Sun, Il Mare, Over the Rainbow, and then later on The Thieves, New World, along with The Gods, both parts of that, and this year's Hunt, which is his directorial debut. His notable television roles include Sandglass, more recently Chief of Staff, and of course the global phenomenon, Squid Game, which made him a huge star and landed him a lead role in a Star Wars series called Acolyte, which is currently filming, as has been expressed on social media by fans of K-drama. If he is stuck in mocap or a mask, or some kind of blue paint, and basically all but erased out of the show, as often happens, then people won't be pleased. I really hope that this is going to be really a big debut for a Korean actor in Star Wars, and that he will be there, face and voice and all. But let's see what happens with this series. It's meant to be a kind of a spy thriller. Speaking of which, the first movie I'm going to talk about today is Hunt. I'm going to give a review of this, which I saw in the cinema this year, and then recommend you three other fairly recent films which Lee Jong-jae starred in, if you want to see more of his work, and then talk about a few other quick recommendations as well. So if you have seen this guy in Squid Game, or you've seen his new film, and you think he's a pretty good actor, then these are some of the places that you can see other very decent work from him. Hunt, as mentioned, is the first film that he has actually directed. It's a period piece espionage thriller set around real events. It stars Lee Jong-jae as Park Pyong-ho, who is the foreign unit chief for the KCIA. Stars his buddy, Chung Woo-sung, as Kim Jung-do, who is the KCIA domestic unit chief. You've also got Ho Sung-tae as Jang Cho-sung, which is basically Kim Jung-do's buddy and his, you know, his subordinate agent. And Chung Man-sik as Agent Yang. You also have a rogues gallery of incredible cameos, which I will get round to later. Let it be known that this film has the strongest cameo game of any movie this year. So the plot of this, broadly, is Lee Chung-jae and Jung Woo-sung as agents and one-time buddies investigating each other. There's a bit of an Infernal Affairs vibe, especially at the beginning, but it's much more fast-paced than that, and it is much more tense. I think the tension in this film is very good, the way these guys are trying to uncover things about one another, sniffing around one another, to try and rumble their rival. So very fast-paced, a lot of plot. There's also references to South Korean history, which at a glance at some of the reception that this film has had, has bamboozled Western critics completely. But with even a cursory knowledge of some of the South Korean, you know, key historical events in the 1980s, actually shows that this was quite an accomplishment to pull off. It's, you know, your historical fiction kind of thriller. It's very, you know, it's like a good kind of a political thriller, paperback, or, you know, any movie that that deals with some historical events and then dramatizes them, but turned into this really slick, kind of burly action film. And I think it's done really well. He's got a lot of plates spinning, and maybe he's bitten off more than most directors would want to chew for a first film. Maybe that's part of being a first-time director, is being really excited and thinking, okay, I want to do all of these things. And this could have been, you know, two movies, or they could have taken a slice of this and just focused on that. But even with what you do get, this quite long, very thickly plotted film, I thought it was, you know, never boring for a second. There's so much going on, and it looks amazing. It made me think, kind of before I went into this and got to see it at the cinema, what does Lee Chung-jae sort of value as a director? As a film and telly actor of so many years, what story does he now want to tell? You know, I would imagine a lot of actors spend time thinking, if I actually get behind the camera one day, what would I do? What would be my story that I want to get out there? And your Bradley Coopers and Takeshi Kitanos and Jordan Peele have all gone down different routes. Quite a lot of people who go from acting to directing might go with genre and thrillers, etc. And Lee Chung-jae has done that, but added a lot of context of the Gwangju Democratic Uprising, which was also significant to one of his most acclaimed TV series early on, Sandglass. So maybe that was formative to him. I haven't seen Sandglass yet, but it sounds fantastic, and it's very well known and beloved in South Korea from what I've been reading about it. And so perhaps he's been thinking all these years, there's kind of more I have to say, or more creative space for me to revisit this era of history. But I feel this isn't a very ego-stoking directorial debut. Lee Chung-jae's character, Park Pyong-ho, is very cool and impressive at various points, but it doesn't feel really like an exercise in vanity. It feels like kind of a very boyish, very enthusiastic approach of, you know, if I only ever make one film in my life, if they never let me do this again, then I'm going to make this big brawling thing that's as memorable as possible. I'm just going to put my whole, you know, absolutely everything that I feel like I can do into this movie. As mentioned, the Gwangju Uprising and the events of 1980s South Korean history are very important in this film. It does take time first to establish the simmering tension between these agents, like I mentioned. I think it would work if it was entirely fictional content, if you had Lee Chung-jae and Jung Woo-sung hunting each other down, if they'd just done a sequel to Asura in that fictional city. The chemistry and performances, especially between these two leads, is so excellent that they could carry the whole thing, no problem at all. The directing as well, I think, is actually really decent. Lee Chung-jae is a competent action director. It's really exciting stuff. There's a great sense of motion and impact in all of the action set pieces. The guy's done loads of action films, especially recently, and obviously has taken away some understanding of what makes those really barrel out of the screen towards you. There's so much kind of physicality and, you know, well well-calibrated noise and bombast to everything that's happening. It's very, very good, and it's just a great watch in the cinema. As I mentioned, cameos, there's some absolutely phenomenal ones. As branch agents, you have Park Sung-woon, my perennial favourite, Cha Woo-jin is another agent, Kim Nam-gil is in there, Ju Ji-hoon, and there's great moments where they're stood around, and it's kind of this, you know, gang of agents, and they're basically in the background, and in any other film, they would be, you wouldn't know necessarily who the actors were. But here it's, you know, some of the most famous actors sort of talent on screen in Korea, just there to say a couple of lines. And so that, you know, if there is a flex with this movie, I think bringing all those big names on board is pretty amazing. Hwang Jung-min plays Lieutenant Lee, a deserting North Korean pilot. This was something that was going on at the time. Pilots would kind of defect from the North, and when they come in, it's about halfway through the movie or something, and they pull the bag off the guy's head, and Hwang Jung-min is sat there, very, very funny, as he often is. Lee Sung-min, who has been dominating the year with phenomenal performances in Juvenile Justice, in Shadow Detective. Haven't seen Reborn Rich yet, but apparently he steals every scene in that as well. He is in this. He gets a brilliant scene that he absolutely knocks out of the park, sat next to Park Byung-ho, and Yoo Chae-myung as a CEO. So if you like your Korean movies and series, then going into this, you'll be treated with a lot of cameos, and you'll be like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme, constantly leaping out of your seat and pointing at the screen. Little word on some of the reception, because I think what you take away from this movie seems to depend massively on what you go in with. And in Korea, a lot of critics have praised the production, the slick action, the filled out characters, and kind of how it was put together. It's this big, muscly action film, but at the same time very much made for a Korean audience, I feel, what with the historical context. It made me wonder, would Lee Jung-jae have embarked on the same film now if he had sort of Squid Game levels of international exposure before beginning this production? If you are the lead of Squid Game, and now suddenly people in the UK, America, France know who you are, do you make something that is deeply referential to South Korean history, or do you maybe go with something that you feel is a bit more homogenized so that you might have an international hit? Personally, I quite like the fact he's come out with this movie that it's very referential to his own country and to his world of cinema and TV that he's always operated within. It doesn't feel kind of internationalized or homogenized at all, and that's cool in its own way, but, you know, interesting timing, I feel. Many international critics thought it was overplotted and confusing, and I think this is because they don't really have even a very rudimentary appreciation of Korean history. You know, and you don't have to like this film. You might go through and think, you know, that was just a lot of shouting and shooting, but at least don't project your own ignorance back on it as a flaw. You know, you can glance at a wiki page about the Gwangju Uprising, about North Korean pilot defections and the Rangoon bombing, and that would be enough. And I'm sure that if this was a film about a historical event in the US, they'd be all over it. But, you know, apparently Asian cinema has to cater to a lack of knowledge in Western viewers. I don't think that's really right. You know, you don't have to go into a movie knowing everything about where it's from, but I just don't think people would have the same reaction if it was about, you know, Reagan, if it was some kind of Clinton biopic and people went in knowing nothing about who those people were. I don't know, that probably wouldn't be seen as the mainstream response and an acceptable critical approach. Yeah, I suppose for some critics easier to just watch things that are largely fantasy, like Squid Game and stuff like that. So that just be aware that some of the stuff out there, I think, you know, if you are prepared to learn a little bit about the history or be open-minded about it, you can disregard some of the stuff around it being over-plotted or just plot twists. I thought this was a really good film, a first film directed by an actor that I really like. he gives himself a lot to do, exercises a lot of his acting chops in this, but also a lot of space for you know, other actors, tons of cameos, like I say, for the sort of the A-list, and very well put together, very nice, a great watch. Might be past time to see it in the cinema, but if you can see it on the bigger screen that you can, and with a good sound system, then I think you'll get a lot out of it as well. Next up, Warriors of the Dawn. This came out in 2017, and in Korean, this is actually Taerip-gun, which means proxy soldiers, which I think is a far better name for this movie. I think that's a really cool name. Warriors of the Dawn is... it sounds like a song by a power metal band from about 1994. Cheesy and doesn't really mean much. But this is actually about proxy soldiers. It's in 1592 in the Imchin War. Lee Jung-jae plays a character called To-woo. And at this time, the proxy soldiers were basically poorer folk who were paid off to serve in the military in place of the rich. So this isn't a war film that has kind of, you know, a banner-waving regiment or any kind of loyal retainers. These guys are literally just there because they have to be. They've got families at home that they're trying to pay for, and so they have to go out and fight on behalf of other people. They're in quite a grim situation, but it puts a different spin on it and feels a bit more like a mercenary company story, like Glenn Cook's Black Company, Stephen Erickson's Malazan, Book of the Fallen, which I always like that kind of insight into, you know, someone who's there for a paycheck, because then I think you get an interesting look at how a human being reacts to that. You know, you're not so much going into feudal loyalty or ideas around, you know, flags and nation and honour. It's much more personal. I really liked this approach. I've seen, you know, tons of these Chosun movies because I adore them. And this has a really different look. The way it's shot is really beautiful. It has a natural aesthetic to it. Really feels real. You get these shots of warriors sat on the side of cliffs with their hair blowing in the wind. And you can just tell that the cliffs and the wind and everything is real. Like they sat there in those costumes and filmed that. And captured it, and yeah, it's stunning. The photography of this reminds me a bit of The Assassin with Xu Qi from 2015, just a little bit before this. That's how good it looks. It really has a classical, natural look to it. Lee Jung-jae showing his range a little bit here. This is compared to Hunt or, you know, other movies where he's an agent or anything like that. He's a bit more kind of terse. He's like this big, beefy, squaddy, which can play because he's a big bloke. But his face gives him so much emotional space to play in at the same time. And I think maybe this movie made me think that that is kind of a key to his success, I think. Like, how many things can you cast this guy as and it be believable? He can be a politician, an agent, a warrior in ancient times. He can be this this goofball in a movie like Big Match. He can be this schlubby loser in Squid Game. He's got real range and really a character actor. But the I think the physicality and his features really give him so many directions to go in. It is sweeping, and it's a really great action drama. It's one of those ones where you're just happy to kind of, yeah, get swept up in it and go along with this story. It's I think if you're into your Chosun action movies and historical dramas, easy to recommend. And if you're not into those, then I think you can come to this. You can expect some decent acting, definitely, but just a really beautifully shot and put together film. Next up, Assassination, or Amsal in Korean. This, again, is a period piece. All but one of the movies I'm talking about today are. I do love a period piece. This is a 1930s Seoul and Shanghai. It's an espionage film, again. This one is the eighth highest grossing movie in Korean film history. Big, big movie. A big hit from Choi Dong-won, who is a very successful director. Most recently did Alienoid, also responsible for The Thieves, which was another massive hit. And this stars Jun Ji-hyun, or Jiana Jun, as An Ok-yun, and Lee Jung-jae as Yim Sek-jin, the fantastic Ha Jung-woo as Hawaii Pistol, and the very funny from I'm a Cyborg, But That's Okay, Oh Dal-soo as Buddy. This was nominated for and won tons of awards, including Best Film at Blue Dragon Film Awards. Lee Jung-jae won Best Actor at the Buell Film Awards, which I hadn't heard of before. And this comes out during a career resurgence for Jun Ji-hyun, after The Thieves and then The Berlin File kind of revived her box office chances. She plays a sniper assassinating high-profile Japanese targets during the colonization of Korea, when resistance groups were operating out of Manchuria and China. This is a lavish, huge production. If Warriors of the Dawn had a lot of shots that made use of Korea's natural beauty, this has gorgeous streets and bars and sets that are made up to look like they're just transporting you back to the 1930s in those times. They look absolutely amazing, especially in the China sequences. They look so impressive. And then there's a real feel of oppression and fear in the Seoul sequences, which are set in this time when Japan is ruling Korea. It's all helped by a really fantastic pace and tension as alliances are being made and broken. There's some twisty revelations along the way. And it has a similar rhythm to The Thieves, which Choi Dong-hoon directed, like I mentioned, where the kind of the best laid plans just blow up in people's faces, and then after that you get this amazing ride as the consequences play out. It has a wedding day shootout that puts Kill Bill completely to shame. It's got tons of fantastic set pieces. It's got brilliant kind of death scenes for a lot of its key moments. There's kind of images and scenes in this that I really took away with me and that I often remember and think about. Yeah, really, really good. Was referred to in one review I saw as just this kind of absolutely overblown historical mega production that you generally don't get in the West anymore. Like, this is the big blockbuster hit in South Korea, not the superhero movie. So that is something that you can be quite jealous of with South Korea, is that something of this kind of caliber and finesse is the tentpole. It's really lovely stuff. Jun Ji-hyun is phenomenal in this. I was also enamored by Lee Jung-jae's turn. He's playing two versions of a scheming spy and a double agent, the old and the young. So we meet him in the present, where he's elderly, senior officer in the Korean police in court. Then you're flashing back to the past, when he was the double agent, selling information from the Korean resistance fighters back to the Japanese. He had been tortured by them before, which gives him some shades of sympathy, but he's definitely a villain in this, and a very good one. When people were interviewing him about Squid Game, saying, you know, you're usually these baddies and villains, they're talking about films like this. And he effortlessly inhabits the old version of himself, and he's so kind of suave and entertaining in his villainy throughout. I guess we'll get some good performances from him as an old bloke, because he looked very, very believable here. Yeah, Assassination is really, really good. That's easy for me to recommend. Maybe not as easy as the best film on the list, one of my favourite films nowadays, which is New World. Which is Lee Jung-jae as Lee Cha-sung, an undercover cop in a corporate crime syndicate. Old Boys Choi Min-sik as the section chief Kang Hyo-cho, and Hwang Jung-min as Jung Chung, who is leader of a Chinese-backed mafia. This is my favourite Lee Jung-jae film. It's an amazing gangster melodrama. It's essential, I think, if you love Heat, Casino, Scarface, Infernal Affairs, all the old John Woo hard-boiled noirs from the 1980s. It is a terrific example of that genre. Lee Jung-jae, he's this cop. He's on the most stressful imaginable post in this hyper-violent and very well-organized crime syndicate, waiting for when he can be reassigned. But Choi Min-sik's character, Kang, keeps delaying it and saying, I'm so sorry, you're going to have to stay on this post for a while more. It's not too bad, right? You're in there now. But imagine being told that. That is a real sentence, going back to being on the inside with such a scary organization. And then he gets pulled into the succession struggle when the leader of the crime organization is killed. Choi Min-sik in this, by the way, shout out to his turn, because he is like a spider in the middle of a web in this. And he, because he's such a brilliant actor, he plays this police chief with so many layers. He's hilarious, the way he's screaming at the mafia and telling them what to do 1 minute, and then you kind of hate him when he's sending Chasum back into the lion's den. He's really, really good. Hwang Jung-min also, this is one of the first movies I saw him in, really sets the tone for a lot of roles that he would do in this kind of decade since. Kind of hyper vulgar, constantly swearing, very entertaining, maximalist criminal character who is always kind of just absolutely vibrating with energy on screen. Yeah, he was really fantastic in this. I think that also the work that Lee Jung-jae puts in to a character who is kind of operating on so many different levels. He's a cop. He's on the inside in this organization. He's also got a wife who he's trying to look after and keep away from the mayhem of this crime world. And now he's involved in the succession to maybe take over the crime syndicate. And to kind of, he holds a lot back over the course of this movie. Not going to spoil anything, but I think that the way he lets the character sort of slowly fall into place in front of you, backed by an absolutely splendid soundtrack that kind of really represents the melancholy and darkness of what's going on, phenomenal. And so, yeah, if you like any of those sort of noir sagas where you get to see this kind of brilliant character arc over a couple of hours really come together, your Heats, your Casinos, then like I say, it's mandatory to see this movie. The Park Chan-wook team is on this, so Chung Chung-hoon is photographing, Cho Young-wook is responsible for the lovely soundtrack. It's the second film directed by Park Hoon-jung, who wrote I Saw the Devil and The Unjust, who would go on to make The Tiger, Night in Paradise, The Witch Part 1 and 2. So behind and in front of the camera, it's just absolutely stacked, this film, with the creme de la creme of South Korean filmmaking powerhouses, and it delivers on every front. Nobody is doing anything less than some of their finest work here. Also worth seeing, worth mentioning for Lee Jung-jae, The Thieves. That's a really fun heist film as well, from the director of Assassination. Big Match, I don't know if I really recommend this film. I watched it purely because Lee Jung-jae was in it. I thought it was just funny to see this now global star, the dude from Squid Game and New World, be shot up the arse with a rubber bullet while he's running away because he's involved in some convoluted game where he's going to be blown up if he doesn't do what the voice in his ear is telling him or something. I mean, real fluff. But some quite funny moments. The two Along with the Gods movies, he played one of the main gods in that. He's a good pick for that sort of role. If you want to see a Korean take on a big sort of special effects blockbuster that sets up its own universe, that's a good one. I liked the first movie a lot more than the second. I had some issues with the second one. He was in Swaha, The Sixth Finger, which I've covered on this podcast, a really good horror movie. He was in Deliver Us From Evil, which reunited him or put him opposite again Hwang Jung-min, and is basically like a South Korean take on The Terminator. He plays a Yakuza who has come back to Korea to avenge his brother, who Hwang Jung-min has killed, and he's absolutely relentless. Very, very good. and Squid Game, which might have a future, where he may be returning with red hair, I suppose. I liked Squid Game a lot. It was the first episode I did of this podcast, and I recorded that episode probably just slightly before the whole internet went Squid Game crazy. And as a result, because it was this kind of 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 very fun thriller series, but then people got way too into it and started kind of basing their personalities around it, there was inevitably this sort of snarky backlash because people wanted to say, well, I don't like the popular thing. And so it got very strange for a while. And there was some gatekeeping as well, either people going, oh, you don't get it because you don't watch K-drama, or, you know, this show isn't, you know, it's too mainstream now, so disown it. So, I mean, that's all noise that you're better off just not being aware of. But even now, when I look back on Squid Game, there were some terrific episodes in there. The second episode where they went back into town, they actually got out, and then they all chose to go back, was, I think, quite daring in retrospect as a move right at the start of the series. Obviously, the one with the marbles that everyone knows was great. I loved the rope pulling one as well. So if you've never seen it, or, you know, if you just got put off by the ubiquity and the hype at the time, which I totally understand, because I sometimes avoid things if I just feel like everybody is shouting about them all day, then that is worth a look. And you see a very different side of this actor. And the director said that he did want to kind of implode that popular image of Lee Chung-jae a bit. So you get to see a whole different side of him. I also asked for feedback for this episode, because I think dealing with some of these actors when they've done so much and have been seen in so many places, you know, just doing half an hour talking about a few things they've done can seem like a bit of short shrift. So reached out to my lovely community on the K-Bot at Twitter, invited people to just contribute their favourite things that Lee Chung-jae has been in, or maybe a bit of trivia as well. So Robin Alpha, that's at Robin_Alpha on Twitter, and do check out Robin's Instagram as well for some of their really fantastic Korean DVD collection. Very impressive stuff. Says, favourite movie, definitely Hunt. I also really enjoyed Assassination, New World, Thieves, and of course Ilmer. Robin being a big fan as well of Jung Ji-hyun. And when we got to talking in DMs after, mentioned Squid Game as a first encounter with Lee Chung-jae. Mirthblaster36 says, it's not really a huge role, but his performance in The Face Reader really salvaged an otherwise unfocused and dull snooze of a movie. It's a great example of why I loved him as an actor. He has an energy that really sharpens everyone around him. And continues, I mean that as no slight to the other actors in the movie. It has a great cast, but something about it just doesn't work for the sections he's not in. It's flatter than a pancake. Hattie, at Rain Hattie, says, I think Ilmer is a perfect romantic film, and he's pretty great in it. I also think he has the most impressive performance in Assassination, which is a high bar, helped along by an author-backed role, sure, but even accounting for that. Yeah, I agree. It's hard to walk away from an ensemble like Assassination with the best performance, but I think he just about manages it there. Profokiev, who is at Profokiev on Twitter, says, fave film, Ilmer and New World. Fave drama, Chief of Staff. I really need to watch Chief of Staff. I bet it's amazing. And trivia, is a descendant of Grand Prince Hyoryong, so technically he has royal blood. That is interesting. Tasa, who's at Sonic Speeds, that's Speeds with a Z, been thinking about JJ in Triple and JJ in Deliver Us from Evil, so I choose those. Fun fact about him is that he was fluent in an English-American accent in Over the Rainbow, and I wonder, would he sound like that, or would he have a British accent in The Acolyte? Interested to know as well. as he does deliver a few English lines here and there in some of his other movies, but you don't get much of a chance to hear. So I also had some feedback for the Ma Dong Seok episode where I didn't do a shout beforehand, but clearly I should have. This is from Robin Alpha again, and thank you for writing in, Robin. Some feedback for the Ma Dong Seok episode. 2022 was a special year for cinema in Korea, not just because of Corona. Most major distribution companies raised the ticket prices, which led to a little backlash because Koreans go to the cinema a lot, but now it's not so affordable anymore, especially for lower income people. Emergency Declaration didn't do well, Alienoid didn't do well, and Decision to Leave didn't do well, which some people say is related to ticket prices. On the other hand, The Roundup was a huge success. It was the first blockbuster movie that came out after Corona lockdown. Yeah, The Roundup was an absolute beast at the box office. Continues, Ma Dong Seok now has their own production company. There are more Ma Dong Seok movies that I can recommend besides Champion. Startup is Comedy Gold, and Ordinary People, aka The Villagers, has quite a dark tone to it, even more than Unstoppable. There will be an American remake of The Gangster, The Cop, The Devil, made by Sylvester Stallone. It has been announced that Ma Dong Seok is set to reprise his role. I'm not a huge fan of Sylvester Stallone, but if Ma Dong Seok is in it, I'll check it out. And there are plans to make 8 movies in the Crime City universe, which is the Outlaws Roundup world, plus spin-offs. That I'm very much up for. I think that one of the things that South Korean cinema maybe isn't or hasn't been building out quite yet is franchises. And so I'm happy to see that the Roundup and Outlaws is kind of being built out as a cinematic world and universe, to use the cliche, I suppose at this point, slightly depressing term. But they don't have it yet in South Korea quite as much. And Ma Dong Seok makes a lot of these movies where he is a big, brawling, tough guy. Why not put them all under one franchise and just continue it, tell a longer story? So I'm definitely dead up for that. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. You can always write in to kdramapod, that's kdramapod, at gmail.com. You can follow the show on @kbotakpod. That's @kbotakpod on Twitter, provided you're not listening possibly a couple of weeks after this episode comes out and Twitter is no more and has been consigned to history. We'll have to see how that goes. In the meantime, retweets and shares on surviving social media networks are much appreciated. And best of all, if you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for listening. Cheers.